Heidelberg Catechism is a great tool for learning and teaching. I hope you've been seeing that in this series, in which we are looking at the Word of God, learning great truth from the Scriptures, and then seeing that the Catechism gives a well-stated summary of the truth we see in the Scriptures, a summary that we can indeed use for teaching and learning. Right now we are in the section of the Catechism that goes through the commandments one by one. So far we've looked at the first three commandments, so tonight we are on the fourth commandment, which is recorded in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. I invite you to open your Bibles to that passage, and if you are able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God, recognizing that this is His holy, inspired word to us. Exodus 20, starting with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Father God Almighty, we thank you for the creation, and we thank you for the seventh day, the Sabbath day, the day of rest. Give us great insight into it this evening. Unto your glory and honor, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to begin by showing you that the fourth and fifth commandments are different than the rest of them. I'll highlight the difference on the screen by showing you that most of the commandments begin with the same word. On the screen is the beginning of the first three commandments in the Hebrew language. Hebrew is read from right to left, backwards than what we're used to. It's read from right to left. So you can see that the first three commandments begin with the same word. I have those words circled in red there. The word means no or not. It's a negative. That first word introduces what shouldn't be, what we are not to do. So the first word that hits you when you read the first three commandments is no, not. And now I'll put on the screen the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth commandments. You can see that they too begin with the negative, the same negative. No, 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 no. That's what you see. Now, with that understood, here is a picture of the fourth and the fifth commandments, how they begin. And do you see the difference? The fourth and fifth commandments do not begin with that negative, that no. Here's what it looks like in English. All the commandments start with a negative, except the fourth and the fifth commandments. That's what makes them different. The fourth commandment starts with the word remember. The fifth commandment with the word honor. That instantly gives the fourth and fifth commandments a different feel, doesn't it? All of the commandments are certainly positively for our good. All the commandments are extremely positive, very rewarding, very much for our benefit. But the fourth and fifth commandments are for our good in a special, significant way. And these commandments, God is telling us that He has provided us with a special gift that He wants us to enjoy unto His glory. In the fifth commandment, the special gift is parents. God has given us parents for our good. He calls us to honor them, understand what a blessing they are unto His glory. We'll talk more about that when we get to that next sermon on the commandments. And in the fourth commandment, God is also highlighting a special gift to us, a gift He wants us to remember and keep holy unto His glory and honor. And the gift is the Sabbath. It's a wonderful gift, a gracious gift, a gift that we'll now focus on. You might think that the word Sabbath means seventh day because it's often used in that way, but the fundamental meaning is to cease from labor, to rest. Every week we've been given a day to rest, to cease from labor. We've been given a no-work day. In the Old Testament, the no-work day, the day of rest, was the seventh day of the week, because that is when God rested from creating all things. And in the New Testament times, the day of rest is the first day of the week, because that is the day Christ rose from the dead. So in both the Old and New Testaments, we have a day of rest. And that's a good gift, isn't it? How many times do we say phrases like, "I'm extremely busy, I'm so tired, I'm very stressed, I need a vacation"? Those are pretty common phrases amongst all Americans, aren't they? And we Christians oftentimes add to those phrases thoughts and comments like these: "I've been too busy for any kind of biblical devotions. I've not been able to stop and pray lately. I should read my Bible more often." Have you said any of those kinds of phrases? Well, good news. Our Creator and Savior has given us a gift, a day of rest, to rest in Him. And the fourth commandment tells us how we are to do that. We enjoy the gift by remembering the gift and by keeping it holy. Every week we are to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So let's think about each of those activities: remembering the Sabbath, keeping it holy. We'll begin with remembering the Sabbath. For most special occasions in life, remembering involves a past, a present, and a future. For instance, when you remember your birthday, you remember the past, the specific day you were born, and you remember some of your previous birthdays, some of your previous years. On your birthday, you might give thought to how you've changed over the years. Someone might show you a picture of, you know, when you were young and maybe missing your two front teeth or something like that, or when you did something cute as a kid, or when you're my age, you might remember, you know, when your hairline wasn't so far back and things like that. That's one way we remember our birthdays, looking at the past. We also remember the present, the fact that we are now a certain age, and we celebrate, you know, our present age. We think about who we are right at this moment. And we also think about the future, right? People wish you many more years, and you think about what life holds for you yet and what your goals are and such things. We do all of that when we remember our birthday. And that is what I mean when I say that remembering involves the past, the present, the future. And those three aspects are very significant when remembering the Sabbath. First of all, there is a past Sabbath day, which is the very foundation of our remembering. Verse 11 identifies that day. Verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day." That part of creation is what we are to remember. And God, after God created everything, He declared a day of rest. And we are told that God Himself rested. Now think about that with me. What does it mean to say God rested? And why would He do that? Was God tired and worn out after His work of creation? You know, was He feeling like we do after a week of hard work? And the answer to all such questions is, of course not. Isaiah the prophet says of God, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary." God did not have sore muscles after creation. His mind wasn't tired of thinking. He did not need to take a nap. And we also need to realize that ever since God said, "Let there be," He has had the ongoing work of sustaining the creation. Creation is not like a wind-up clock, you know, which you wind up Some of you remember those wind-up clocks. Your kids probably don't, but there used to be the wind-up clocks. You know, you could wind it up and walk away from it, and the energy that you put into it, winding it up, would keep it going while you did something else or while you slept or took a nap. And creation is not like that. God did not wind up creation, give it all the power it needs so that he could go off and, you know, take a vacation or a nap while creation did its thing. Rather, God is constantly sustaining every single part of creation. Jesus himself tells us that God has always been working. He tells us that in John chapter 5 in a discussion about the Sabbath. I won't read the whole passage, but simply highlight that Jesus is discussing the Sabbath with religious leaders who did not understand it very well. In verse 16, we read that the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing things on the Sabbath. Jesus concludes the discussion by saying, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." The phrase "working until now" means the Father has never stopped working. The Father and Son have always been sustaining all that has been created. God the Father has never taken a nap. So the big question then is, well, what does the creation account mean when we're told God rested? How did he rest? Well, one part of the answer is that he ceased from creating new things. For instance, think of Adam and Eve. God created them directly. They were not conceived and knit together in the womb of a mother and born like you and I and every other person since then. God did a direct work of creation when he created Adam and Eve. And he stopped doing that. Lots of people have been born by God's sovereign hand via conception and birth, via God's sustaining work. But Adam and Eve were created directly. That's what I mean when I say God ceased creating new things. So that's part of the answer. Another part of the answer is this: God enjoyed his creation along with creation. God enjoyed his creation along with the creation. Let me draw you a picture of what I'm talking about. Imagine a super dad making a marvelous backyard for his family. You know, it's full of flowers and trees, fountains, a koi pond, picnic table, swing set, sandbox, basketball court, swimming pool. It's just a marvelous backyard. And he even gets rid of all the mosquitoes and flies. This is a super dad, all right? He didn't break a sweat in doing that. He has limitless energy. All of his energy is remaining when he's finished. He also prepares a lunch, a wonderful, complete lunch. But now Super Dad stops, and he looks at everything, and he says, "This is very good. It's perfect." And he rests, and here's how he rests. He stops creating, and he gets his children and his family, his wife, and he sits down, and he enjoys the backyard and the lunch with the kids, the family. He doesn't lie down and take a nap. He enjoys the backyard with his family, continuing to make sure that everything is good in the backyard, sustaining all this beauty and joy. Now, that's how God rested. He took joy in his perfect creation, and he let his creation take full joy in him, providing everything his creation needed. Dear friends, there was a historical day, a time when that was the case. It's part of the history of humankind. Adam and Eve enjoyed rest with their Creator in the Garden of Eden. Beautiful time. Together. So when we remember the Sabbath, they were remembering that past when Adam and Eve were present with God Almighty in the place he created. Now we also need to think about the present. You know, we're no longer in the Garden of Eden. We can no longer see God. And because of sin, rest isn't always easy. But every week, all mankind is given a day from God, a Sabbath day. There's not a place in the world where a Sabbath day cannot be enjoyed. It's a gift from God to all people. Our culture has been and continues to ruin the Sabbath. And Satan would love to ruin it more and more. In our culture, the Sabbath has become a day of entertainment, business, sporting events. The Sabbath has sadly become as busy as the rest of the week in many ways. But in spite of what is happening, the offer of rest is still there. And what is especially important is that the offer of the gospel is going out to the ends of the earth. We just heard a report on Ethiopia tonight. The gospel is how we especially enjoy the Sabbath. I'll talk more about that in a moment. Right now, realize that when we gather together for worship and we sing praises to God, and when we sing about God, when we hear His word, when we enjoy fellowship, when we pray to Him, we're enjoying a taste of that first Sabbath rest. We cannot see God, but He's with us in this sanctuary. We're enjoying Him. We're hearing from His word. We're spending time with Him. It's a taste of what Adam and Eve had in the garden. And it's also a taste of what is yet to come. And that's really exciting. We've heard some allusions to that already this evening, some passages about that. Think with me more about the future. The good news is that Jesus will one day return. The earth will be renewed. And we will be in His presence forever without any problems at all. It will be just as it was on the first Sabbath day, and even better, because we, His people, will now be glorified. There will be no more possibility of sin. Listen to what Revelation says. We heard this just a moment ago, but listen again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband, and heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be His people. God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Dear Christians, the Bible begins with perfect Sabbath rest. The Bible ends with perfect Sabbath rest. Our God is graciously redeeming us and creation so that we can enjoy true Sabbath rest with Him face to face and do so forever, enjoying all that He has created forever and ever. So to remember the Sabbath is to look back and think about how awesome that first Sabbath was, recognize what we can enjoy right this moment in Christ, and look forward to that future Sabbath rest with sure hope and anticipation. One of my favorite truths to sing when we gather together is about Christ's return and how we'll be with Him forever. Now, not only are we to remember the Sabbath, we're to keep it holy, and that's what we're going to consider now. The word holy means set apart for God. And so the way we keep the Sabbath day holy is by setting it apart for God. We do that with several actions. One, we work for 6 days of the week. That's part of the commandment. And by work, what is meant are your normal responsibilities for making a living, caring for your family. Your normal responsibilities might be cleaning the house, doing the laundry, making food. Your normal responsibilities might be going to school. Your normal responsibility might be going to a job, an occupation, or a combination of all of that. Whatever your normal responsibilities are in the household, we'll work hard at it for 6 days. What that means is we shouldn't procrastinate what needs to get done and then say, "Well, you know, I'll use the Sabbath to get it done." If you have to go to the office on Sunday and put in some hours at work because you didn't work hard enough during the 6 days of labor, well, see, then you're breaking the fourth commandment. Students and teenagers, I ask you to think about that with your homework. You know, if you can, get your homework done on Friday or Saturday before the Sabbath. We're to work for 6 days. Second, on the Sabbath rest, rest from work recognizing God is the provider. Rest from work recognizing God is the provider. The commandment specifically tells us to rest from our labor. Don't do any work. That's crystal clear in the commandment. And what I want to show us is that at the heart of that rest is recognition that God is our provider. Concerning this, look with me at Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 through 30. The verses say this: on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, and all that is left lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them. And it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain, each of you, in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Here we see that the commandment to rest is connected to God being the provider. Specifically, he provided them with enough manna so they could rest on the Sabbath. And when God tells us to work for 6 days and then rest on the Sabbath, he's telling us that he's going to do the same for us. In other words, God is telling us, you know, you don't need to work overtime. He's telling us you don't need to overload yourself with so many responsibilities that those responsibilities become too cumbersome for a Sabbath day. You don't have life in all of your responsibilities. It's God who gives you life. Rest in him. Trust that he'll provide. Trust that when you follow the fourth commandment, you're going to have everything you need in order to serve him. Now, that doesn't mean you'll be rich. It doesn't mean you won't experience some hard times. It doesn't mean you will have everything you need that you want to have. It does mean you'll have everything you need to know full life, full joy in Christ. Rest from your labor, recognizing God as your provider. There are, of course, jobs of necessity that must be done on Sunday. We need police officers, firefighters, nurses, surgeons, preachers, and others as well. But even they can, when working on Sunday, use a different day of the week to rest, recognizing God is my provider. And remember, we have 2 services on Sunday. So when you can't catch one, you might be able to catch the other. Now, the manna passage we just looked at is beautifully connected to the third way we are to keep the Sabbath holy. And this is actually a crucial way we keep the Sabbath holy. We rest from our labor by resting in Christ alone for our salvation. Or in other words, we don't try to earn our way into heaven. We don't try to labor our way into heaven. We rest in Christ, rest in his finished work for righteousness, and that he came and lived and died for us. We rest in him. Let me read a New Testament passage, and I think you'll see how man in the wilderness was simply a foretaste of resting in Christ alone. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." See, there's a connection there between Christ and that manna in the wilderness. And it's a beautiful connection. Christ is the manna, the life, the way to heaven. We do not have to labor to have Christ. He's provided without labor. If we're not resting in him alone for salvation, then we're not at all keeping the Sabbath holy. The gospel is central to the Sabbath. Now, that truth leads to another key way we should keep the Sabbath holy. We should keep it holy by attending church. We need to set this day apart for gathering together for worship and the ministry of the word and the ministry of sacrament. This is our day to gather together and enjoy God, looking forward to his return, being blessed by the gifts he's given one another. We need to keep setting apart for gathering together for all of that reason. The sad reality right now is that church attendance patterns are changing. And they're not changing for the better. Now, here's an article from Christianity Today, dated March 2018. I agree with the title that church attendance patterns are changing. I don't agree that we have to adapt. I take us to this article to read the statistics in it. Quote, church attendance is changing. As recently as 20 years ago, if 10 people became church members, either formally or informally, the average attendance grew by 8 or 9 people. Not anymore. Today, if 10 people become church members, average attendance grows by 5 or 6. The reason for that is people are attending, on average, only 2 times a month. You know, we're feeling some of that here at First Church. If every active member of First Church came every Sunday, well, our social hall would have a lot of people in alternative seating. I think we would have that whole room filled up every Sunday if all of us came every single Sunday. You know, the church says, the article says the church needs to adapt. Again, I don't agree with that. Rather, the goal should be to call people to obey the fourth commandment. Keep the Sabbath holy. We should be here. I realize that on a Sunday night, you know, all of you are here, most of you for the second time, so in that way I'm preaching to the choir. But this is important for us to again realize. Church attendance is part of keeping the Sabbath holy. And finally, I want to point out that we keep the Sabbath holy by resting from sin every single day. Dear friends, an essential part of the Garden of Eden was lack of sin. An essential part of our eternal rest, our eternity with God, will be rest from sin. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what keeps us from resting in God. So sin needs to be ceased from. Sin is no part of eternal rest. So if we're going to keep the Sabbath holy, we need to rest from sin every single day. We need to be sanctified, becoming more and more holy as God is holy. Now, the Catechism, again, summarizes this well. So I ask you to turn to it. Get out your hymnals, your Grace Psalter hymnals. Turn to page 909. There's a great little summary statement here of what we've learned tonight. This is Lord's Day 38. I'll read the question, and I ask you to respond with the answer. What is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? Please bow with me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for giving us such a wonderful gift, a day to rest in you. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for all Christ has done for us. We thank you for what you did long ago, making for us all that surrounds us in creation, all the beauty, all the delight that's there. We thank you for making us in your image. We thank you for the sure hope of a renewed earth, a redeemed earth and universe, and the sure hope of being with you forever in body and in spirit, enjoying you how you have always intended us to. We thank you for all of this, and Father, we pray that we would not be so ignorant as to fail to realize just how awesome is this gift you have given us. May we not dishonor you by failing to keep the Sabbath holy and failing to remember it. May we thoroughly take hold of this gift and enjoy it unto your glory and honor. May we be strengthened in you. May your name be exalted as we do so. Help us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.